Hello, everyone, and welcome to the, what day is it? Thursday. Welcome to the big show. I'm Jeff Gammon. I'm your interim host sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And I'm happy to be here because, as usual, I get to hang out with really cool people. And so today, that means hanging out with Patrice and Tom. So, Patrice, how are you?
I'm doing very well. It's been a good week. It's nice. It's sunny. Spring is finally happening. Still very cold. Like, we had a couple of days where we had, I think even yesterday at night, we had like 30, some in the 30s temperatures. So 2, 3, 4 degrees Celsius. So it's been cold at night, but it's getting like up there in the, close to 20 degrees Celsius, so about 60s temperatures. So
Yeah.
good time. And I'm looking forward to my trip to Lisbon next week. I'm very, very
Nice.
excited.
Nice. So let's see. Around 25, that's high 60s, right?
Nope.
Low 70s?
The 72, or yeah, but 72 is about 20, 21 degrees.
Okay, see, my problem right now is trying to have both measurement systems in my head. And what I mean to say, yeah, so what I meant to say is 25 high 60s? And the answer is no, it is not. But 20 is around 60. See, sometimes it just
yeah,
gets
a little.
misunderstood.
As I said, it's
a little
21,
more.
I think, is about 70, 72,
I think
I think.
25 is more like 80, right?
Yeah, 80 is
Okay.
going into the 90s already.
Okay, so then
Yeah, 100 degrees Fahrenheit is about 37 degrees Celsius. So
okay. So we're around going to be around 21 today.
Nice. That's cool.
And
feels like spring.
It feels like spring, but in Colorado, you don't have a lot of cloud cover typically, higher altitude, and so less UV protection. And my windows are southern facing.
Oh, yeah.
So what that means is that by the time the show is over, I will probably wish that I had set the AC to turn on. So I will probably be running the AC through the weekend, but then not on Monday when it's supposed to start snowing again.
Exactly. That's the thing with Colorado. I mean, it can even happen within a day, but within a couple of days, it might go back to snowing.
I have had days where I started with the windows open, closed them and turned on the air conditioning, and then that night had to turn the heat on instead. Because Colorado.
Because Colorado.
Yep.
Yeah. So that was the Colorado weather report.
Right. We haven't done a Colorado weather report. We haven't done a Colorado wildlife report for quite a while either.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. There are eagles flying around because so they do their migration season early in the year. And they stop here and they do nesting. And then once their chicks are old enough to fly, then they take off and continue the migration. So you can go outside. And if you're paying attention, when you look up, you see eagles flying around and pelicans.
Nice. So what you're saying is Colorado is a good place for nesting.
Colorado is a good place for nesting. It is. And much to people's surprise, seagulls and pelicans spend a lot of time here.
Nice. And how are the trash pandas doing?
The trash pandas haven't been bothering me
Oh.
much, although I have a trash panda story for you. So a few weeks ago, a friend of mine who lives pretty close by, their cat, an indoor cat, had gotten out. And so they spent like a day trying to find this cat,
Yes.
and they couldn't find it anywhere. Like, it got out early in the morning, and
And let me
then
guess. Let me guess. The trash panda rang the doorbell and said, "Hey, I found your cat."
it was kind of like that. Yeah. So, but yeah, that night, it's like, I don't know, 10 o'clock at night. We're a bunch of us are there at my friend's house. We have super bright flashlights. We're walking through the neighborhood. We're checking all the places, looking in the areas that make sense, because an indoor cat that gets out typically stays very, very close to home. And so we're checking the area, and my friend was like, "Hey, watch out for the raccoons, because there's a lot in our neighborhood." And I'm like, "Okay, fine." So I come around this
And you're
big
like, oh
tree.
yeah, they're my friends, like trash pandas.
I know the trash pandas. Yeah. Come around this tree, and here's a trash panda that's close to the size of a medium-sized dog. So, like, a big enough animal that it's very concerning. And this trash panda did not want me where I was, and I did not want the trash panda where it was. And we had a standoff, me
Wow.
versus trash panda. And my friends seeing this, and they're like, "Oh my God, Jeff. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God." Because they thought there was about to be a throwdown and I was going to lose.
Put
And
it the cameras out and like, okay, let's go.
yeah, it would have been great on YouTube. But the trash panda was ultimately intimidated by me, but not intimidated enough to completely leave. So what it ended up doing when, because we stood there for like a minute, just like 10 feet apart, just staring at each other, and the whole eye lock thing and everything. It was, if we'd had, yeah, if we had guns on, it would have been a quick draw. So American. And so finally, I just took this like big step forward, and I figured that I was going to startle it, and that would scare it, and it would run away. And what it did was like, "That's too close." And so it jumped onto the tree and got up above me on one of the branches, and it was clearly not happy. But we ended up not actually having to fight. And I was concerned for the cat, because trash pandas, if they can get a cat, they will just tear it apart. And
Like
and I,
elf,
yeah, right.
like
And I,
dessert.
right. I didn't want that to happen to my friend's cat.
No.
And we didn't find the cat. And so when we finally all left, like, it's close to midnight, and we're all leaving. And I kept reassuring my friend, "Your cat is coming back, because it knows where it wants to be. It just doesn't know how to get where it wants to be." And they had outdoor cameras set up, and like 3 in the morning, I get this message: "She's home, she's home."
Yeah, that's what happened.
Yep.
Yeah, and then you saw a spaceship land and a trash panda like got on it and they left.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. So they were done with their experiments on what they assumed was the highest life form on the planet.
Yes. Cool.
Cats.
Okay, we can go.
Cats.
Yes.
Yeah. Good times. So anyhow, there you go. Now you have a Colorado
Wildlife update. I
wildlife
already have
update.
two more to show titles, so thank you for
Oh,
that.
good. Good.
Well,
Just
we
doing
should
my part.
introduce Tom. We haven't done that yet.
Wait, Tom's here? Hey,
Hey,
Tom,
hi
how are
everybody.
you?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Jeff. I am working on my new Thunderbolt 3 OWC dock for my Windows PC that some guy recommended as a cool thing last week, 2 weeks ago. And it's working like a charm. So thank you, Jeff.
Awesome. Awesome.
Only $99. I don't think that deal is available anymore. I think it
I don't know if it
come
is.
Back up.
Yeah, I know they were doing a it was like a spring special.
Right. Anyway, it's
So,
great. Works
yeah.
perfectly. I love it.
I'm very pleased with mine too.
And it mine replaced an old Dell dock that was given to me by an IT guy during the start of the pandemic at work. And he said, I think this one works, but it was somebody had given it to us and said there was some problem, but I didn't really have any choice at the beginning of the pandemic. So I've been using a crippled Dell dock for 4 years. So it's nice to get a real one.
Yeah, so this is a nice step up. Mine replaces a CalDigit dock that I'd been using for years. And the only real problem from a daily use standpoint that I had with the CalDigit was that it didn't have enough USB ports for me. It did when I started, but that changed.
Well, I actually have another USB hub that I plug in stuff that's not critical. And a lot of it's just charging stuff. But everything I need, camera, microphone, keyboard, hard drives, all go directly to the dock. So it's nice.
Nice.
Wait, are they sick? They go to the dock.
They go to the dock. Yep.
Well, because they weren't eating their apple a day. Otherwise.
Oh, true.
And since you live West Coast United States, we could say that all of your peripherals are sitting by the dock at the bay.
They are. Watching the tides roll away, I think. Yes, they are.
And that's a good show.
It's always good to have an Otis Redding reference in a tech show. Yes.
Yep. And yeah, I feel like our work here is done.
It is.
Yep, it is.
But as you know, as long as we're here, let's use it as an excuse to hang out and chat some more. And we'll do it under the premise of tech news. And Tom, I see that you were totally on top of it. So tell us about your tech news story.
I think I beat Patrice by 2 nanoseconds.
It was pretty fast. I was watching stuff just kind of fly into the chat.
So I have two articles that I posted around the same subject, which is car companies collecting your data. So I'm sure many of you saw this. I think it was New York Times that did the original write-up.
No, it was even a little bit longer. Like, I think last year at some point, Mozilla did an investigation.
So, you know, it's no surprise. Everything you buy that's connected to your network is collecting data. We all know, you know, TVs are basically ad platforms now and data collectors more so than television, you know, movie projectors anymore. So the first story is kind of a rewrite, a reprint of the New York Times article. Sorry, of course they're collecting garbage just as I'm talking. Can you hear that background noise?
No, but
okay, good.
It would
okay,
be like
good.
A metaphorical thing.
I think the guy was waiting down the street, waiting for me to start talking. Anyway, the first is a more general article about several car companies, Honda and others, that guess what? They're collecting data, and they're collecting a lot of data. And of course, the risk is, you know, not so much those particular companies using your data, but who gets access to it. And of course, you know, insurance companies are the last people you want to have all your driving data. The second article,
the first company that gets like
that's
that
right,
gets,
exactly. That's
the most
fear. Yeah, it's the most valuable to the insurance companies. And the second article I posted is actually about a guy in Florida who owns a Cadillac. Who
there's a cliche somewhere in there.
He had to find new insurance because his current insurance company left the state. That's kind of a common thing here in the United States. A lot of insurance companies are leaving various states. And so he was shopping around and kept getting denied and kept getting denied. And he finally found out that he was getting denied based on data that was coming from Nexus that basically profiled him as a poor driver. And so he's suing Cadillac because he said he never gave them permission to collect that data. And it has to do, I think, it's not just the car, it's the app that goes with the car. It seems to be the thing. It right. It, once you
He's gonna
download
lose
that
that.
app and connect it to your car, then you're in trouble.
I'm pretty sure he's gonna lose that one. There's probably one in one of the million pages that he signed when he signed up.
Yeah.
There's probably something in there.
Yeah.
Typically, the act of getting in the car constitutes consent for them to do whatever
Right.
they want. Yeah,
Right.
we've seen in the past.
And you know, insurance companies, I'm not sure about the rest of the world, but in the US, there are some insurance companies that promote getting lower rates if
Oh
you're a
yeah.
good driver because
Totally
they used
agree.
to have the devices that would plug into your ODB port. I guess now if you have an app on your phone and the phone keeps track of your speed, basically that's probably all you have to do. You can at least detect fast starts and stops and speeding and things like that. Maybe not quite
Not a
as much
problem.
as an ODB.
I
But
saw it in a new thing, so.
I guess the moral of the story is never use your car manufacturer's app.
Don't use it. Well,
Well, it's
there
not
might
even
not
the
even be an
app.
app. Exactly. I mean, cars are computers these days, internet connected computers. So don't you can't even use the car at all because the second you it has a 4G, 5G, whatever it has these days, like it used to be 3G until it was shut down, modem in it, and it connects to the manufacturer. So it's sharing data no matter what.
Right,
Like find
so
the only thing you can do is find the thing that lets you opt out and
turn
opt
it
out.
off. Yeah. So this
And
guy, I
just
think so it's a Cadillac, so it had the GM OnStar system, you know, which is basically their 4G or I think it used
And
to
I
be
mean,
3G.
I think GM is actually, I think they're pretty open about sharing the data or selling the data. I think it's one of the manufacturers who even talked about it and said, yeah, totally, we're collecting it, we're selling it.
Well, it's one of the
That's
reasons
why we want
GM is
it.
switching over to their own in-dash system and not letting you use CarPlay.
Yeah, because otherwise it wouldn't get the same amount of data. And well, I guess with the antitrust suit against Apple, we may have learned that GM may have had other reasons to drop CarPlay as well. You know, being forced to let Apple take over the whole dashboard, if that's true. But yeah, so I guess we're, you know, yet another example of it's all about the data. We used to say it's always about the ads. Anything you're doing is about the ads. Now it's about selling data to third parties who are making tons of money. Everything we do.
And I mean, I wish instead of doing all the other regulations that are happening about what you can and cannot install where and all of that, like EU, I'm talking about you. Maybe it would be a good thing to, and also for the US government, to start regulating all this data.
Data,
Because
absolutely.
currently, I mean, in the US especially, in Europe, there is some protections that don't exist in the US. I mean, the US is basically, well, if you sign it away, it's fair game. So
Yeah,
in
I
Europe,
think
there's some protections that you still have, even if you consent to it.
I agree with you. It's like the whole TikTok discussion, and you listen to the people and they say, why do you want to ban TikTok? First, it was a national security threat. Then it was about data privacy. And the response was, well, then why don't you pass legislation about data privacy instead of banning TikTok? Well, because obviously that would affect Meta and
That's
Google and
politically
Apple and
not
everybody
so
else.
convenient.
It's okay to go after a non-US company, but if you go after a US company, forget it.
I mean, there is entire industries out there, I mean, including Google, to be honest, whose entire business model is centered around collecting as much data about people as possible and selling that to the highest bidder. I mean, you could argue Meta, Facebook, like it's not a social. The reason for existing these days is not a social network. It's collecting as much data as possible.
Yeah, and I wouldn't mind that. I don't, I don't mind the old, implication of data mining, which was they were collecting data and all they knew about you is that you were a member of a group that had certain demographics. That, I don't really care about that. If they identify me as a person of a certain age that's living in a certain part of the country that likes to buy docs from OWC, fine. But when it's so specific now that it's, they know my name, they know the VIN of my car and how many trips I take and if I drive fast or if I'm careful, that's where they have to draw the line on data privacy.
And as you said, these days, I mean, what is not collecting data? Like everything in our
Everything.
lives, almost, like your phones, your smart home stuff, your TV, as you said, your fridge, if you have a connected fridge, toasters, like you name it. Like
Well,
your freaking toothbrush.
and right.
Like,
But
that's
even
a
with
thing
all
now.
the security cameras just walking around, with Face ID and stuff, it's just getting overwhelming. And I used to kind of ignore this stuff, 10 years ago. It's like, ah, whatever, nobody's going to do anything like that. And all the scary stories we were told by a few people 10 or 15 years ago are coming true.
Now, I dropped a link into our live chat for an online tool. It's called vehicleprivacyreport.com. And it's a website that will tell you what data is being collected by your car and what's happening with it. So you do have to put your VIN in, but you're not providing any other identifying information. And then it'll bring up your make and model, and then just give you this nice little chart showing you what types of data are collected. It's not clear through the interface that you can actually click on the little blocks of what type of data it is and get more information. But it's useful. Like for my car, I drive a 2013 Toyota Prius, and it refers to my car as a hard drive on wheels because it can collect data, but then it just lives in the onboard computer because it doesn't have any wireless system for transmitting data. But there's a lot of data there. So if I go to a Toyota dealership,
They
they
can
can
grab it
plug
all.
in to the port and collect all this data.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just
I'm pretty
putting
sure
mine in now.
if you put in like into your search engine like the car model you want and like VIN sample or something, you will probably
It'll
find
give you,
some.
yeah, because it's not about, in this case, having all of the information about your specific car. They need the identifying information from the VIN that tells them what kind of car you have.
Yeah, I
Yeah, so
just
I'm in my car is in the same boat as you. My car is a hard drive on wheels as well. My car is a 2013.
Yeah, and reports like this have me concerned about what happens when I ultimately have to replace my car.
Right.
Because I live in the United States and I live in a part of the country where you need a car, which is basically the entire United States. There's very few places where you can really live
I mean, if you're
completely without a car.
in New York, maybe like the, let's say the New York City
Right.
inner city area, maybe something like that.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, so yeah, inner New York City.
Yeah, San Francisco downtown, like those kind of places. Maybe if you're
So
really
would it be possible if you could figure out a way to disable the antenna in your car, the 5G antenna? Would that could you still operate the car?
I actually have my doubts about that these days because there's so much like updates and stuff coming over that. So not so sure. That would be an interesting question.
Well, let's find someone with the new car and have them cut the
Removed,
wires to the antenna.
I mean, I could see what, you know, with the cars that do over the air updates. I don't know how many cars are actually doing over the air.
Most modern cars have been dead nowadays.
But is it like a computer? If you don't get the update, it still works. It just may have some bugs.
Might have some bugs, might have some security flaws, yeah.
But
But
if
if
it's
it
not
has that,
connected
but
to
I'm not so
anything,
sure
right?
what happens and it's not connected.
Yeah, my guess is the inability to phone home part would
Disable
yeah trigger something
it.
that
Start annoying you and get on the dash like, hey, this is
right.
broken, you should fix it.
So I wonder if it's a is it a licensing thing like you know Microsoft Windows once every week or every month that has to be able to ping the license server to make sure you have a current license. I wonder if cars do it that way.
Yeah, I don't know.
Could be.
But that is concerning because what if you live in an area
Right.
where,
Missed body signal.
where you just don't have a signal?
Like you live
And
in Austria, somewhere in the mountains where there's nothing, or in Colorado, somewhere in the mountains where there's
right.
nothing.
Yeah, there are places in Colorado where you can live and go weeks at a time if you want, where even though you're connected in other ways, you have no cell signal.
Yeah, and the good thing would be that your car would break down. You'd be in the middle of nowhere and not be able to call anybody.
Yeah, there's that problem too.
So true.
But most of the people that are willing to live that lifestyle in Colorado,
Yeah, they don't care.
it's not
They're
good. That's not an
probably
issue for them.
like meth producers or something.
No, those people live in the small towns.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're in the mountains, but they're in the small towns, and there will be a cell signal there, because otherwise they'd have a difficult time talking with their distributors. No, I
I think they found meth
breaking.
labs all over where I live, so they're in the
Oh.
cities too.
Breaking. I was more thinking about Breaking
Bro,
Bad.
Breaking Bad.
Okay.
Walter White, who then like tried to hide somewhere. It wasn't Colorado, but it was somewhere in the mountains.
So
I think
now
it was Omaha.
Thornton in Colorado, which is a very large suburb in the Denver metropolitan area, for some reason, and I don't know why, there's just been like this ongoing thing over the years with finding meth labs in Thornton, and it paints a bad picture of the city, because when you hear that. It creates an image in your head of what this place is like, and it's not that.
Like Breaking Bad, right?
Yeah, I mean, most of it's just like plain old generic suburbs neighborhoods.
Suburbia.
Yeah,
Yeah, it's
but
just
based on what
suburbia.
you're
saying, maybe it just looks like a plain old suburbia, but your next
Maybe
door
that's
neighbor may blow up his house because he's doing
yeah,
meth.
maybe that's why it's happening there, because it
Oh,
looks
good cover.
because it's it feels like a generic suburb in that sense. All
I
right,
know
yeah,
what you
that's a good tactic. Yeah.
Okay, so the moral to the story with cars is you're SOL.
And don't do meth.
And don't do meth. Okay.
Yeah.
Don't buy a car, don't do meth.
Yep, there you go. And hold on to that URL, vehicleprivacyreport.com,
Yeah,
so you can
that's a good
figure out
one.
if your car is sharing more information than you're comfortable with. The short answer is probably yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Patrice, let's hit your story.
So I picked the opposite. It's not even a tech story per se. There were so many tech stories, but I was like, I just wasn't feeling it. It's like, I mean, yeah, I'm sure we could talk
Oh,
about,
I'm totally feeling the story you brought, though.
could have talked about Mr. Beast and Prime and all of that. I'm like, no, I want to talk about Doctor Who, because there is a new doctor in the house. We got, I think before Christmas, there was like this 3-episode special.
Yes.
Since then, I mean, we got actually in this special two, like, I don't want to spoil it, but we got two more doctors. So the new and one in between. said. I'm not going to tell you what happened, but you go watch it. So we have a new doctor, male this time. I'm really having a hard time with the name. Kuti Gatwa, something like that.
Shuti. Nkuti? Oh, Shuti.
Shuti? Shuti Gatwa.
Shuti Gatwa. Okay, thank you. See, that's like, I have a hard time with that name. And Millie Gibson as companion. And we've been waiting very patiently for quite a while for new Doctor Who seasons. And Disney Plus announced that season 14 is starting. So season 14 with the 15th Doctor. So yeah, that's confusing. And Millie Gibson as the companion. Ruby Sunday is her character's name, will premiere with two new episodes on May 10th in the US and internationally, except for the UK, because in the UK, it's on BBC iPlayer beginning at midnight on May 11th. So also, it's available on BBC One if you want it. So in the UK, you have a couple options how you can get to that. And I just wanted to talk about it because I'm, like, you can see behind me. Big fan of Doctor Who.
Same.
So
what,
yeah.
What does it mean when it says it's season 14?
But season 14 of the new run, like for sure,
okay.
Way more. We fed way more than 14.
Yeah,
season.
I was gonna say.
This is the 15th.
The new run's been going that long as well.
Mm-hmm. Huh? Yeah, it's been 2005.
Wow.
Correct.
Sure. Yeah, it's been a while. It's so Tom, the break point for season numbering where it starts over,
2005. Yeah.
It's when Russell T. Davies brought the series back to life. Because it had been on ice since the
80s, I think.
80s.
Well, was it the 80s or was it early 90s? Because the last thing they had done was the made-for-TV movie where...
1989 was
89.
The last.
Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah. So
right at the border. We were both right. It's kind of 89
right in that middle thing. And they were clearly trying to make Doctor Who appealing... or more appealing to a US audience, which is weird because I don't think they needed to do anything to make that happen. But at the time, I think they were thinking, make this very appealing to US audience, and we have different funding and the show keeps going. And yeah, but then it just kind of sat until Russell T. Davies brought it back to life in the early 2000s. And now he's coming back to the series.
So the last episode I checked is December 6, 1989. And then, as I said, I think 2005, somewhere in the summer, I think, it restarted. So it was a while.
Yeah, 15, 16 years. Wow. I've only ever watched the ones that used to run on PBS in the 70s.
Yep. Yep. That's where I learned about Doctor Who as well.
They were a lot of fun.
So it actually started airing in 2006, according to IMDb. Interesting. It says 2005, but the first episode of the first season says here aired March 17th, 2006. So,
also, and it's on Disney.
Nowadays, it's on Disney. So for the longest time, it was only like it was at first only in the UK, and then BBC America was streaming it, and streaming finally became a thing, and some other channels had it probably before.
Yeah,
a couple of years, it's in Disney Plus. Since Disney Plus exists, I think.
I think when it was doing initial running in the US back in 2006, I think it was on Sci-Fi.
Would make sense.
Because they had the distribution deal for the U.S. Mm-hmm. And because I remember watching the new series when it started. And I was watching it on TV. And if it wasn't for the fact that we all had TiVo back then, I was going to have to sit and watch at a specific time every week.
I just know, like, in 2017 at least, it was on BBC America on the streaming app at that point already.
And at that point, I was just buying seasons off of iTunes because it was the easiest and most cost-effective way for me to get it. I
So
am
it's
looking
been
forward to the new season.
me too. Me too.
And
I'm still very upset about how Jodie Whittaker was kind of treated by everybody. I'm like, she was a good actress and she did her best. It was just very, very bad writing at a lot of points.
Jodie Whittaker was great. I'm with you. And I think she was an incredible actor, doing an amazing job with very poorly crafted content. And I'm surprised because Chris Chibnall, who was the showrunner during the Jodie Whittaker era, I mean, he's very Doctor Who. He's been part of this for years and years, and he's a good writer, and he knows what he's doing. So what happened here? I was disappointed because I feel like Jody got a bum deal out of this.
And I mean, that's the problem. The perception out there is like her seasons are the worst, and like it's, oh, women are not good at Doctor Who and all of that, and it's not her fault. Like,
No,
it's
she
hard to
did a
overcome a
really
bad
great
script.
job of polishing turds.
Exactly. I mean, it's
The
just,
first
I mean, those
season,
were the best, but the worst season, like the worst rated seasons and the worst watched seasons, really, of Doctor Who. The modern era.
which is unfortunate.
Yes. Well,
Yeah,
it's
the
also
first
not.
Matt Smith season, I thought was horrible.
It was, yeah.
And
But it wasn't as bad as hers from the ratings, at least.
True. And yeah, I had to rewatch the first season, the first Matt Smith season, a few years after I had initially seen it. And then I was able to really appreciate what was happening, which is that Matt Smith is a really good actor. Like he and Jodie
Oh,
Smith
yeah.
had to do the same thing, which is take garbage and polish it up
Jodie
and make it
Whittaker, you mean?
palatable. And for both of them to be able to do what they did with those seasons is a testament to their skill and their talent. And but yeah, that first Matt Smith season, if you want to know why it was so bad, just go watch the Benedict Cumberbatch Sherlock, which is brilliant. And they were
It
doing
is, yes.
that. It was the same showrunners doing Sherlock at the same time as Doctor Who. And they put their real effort into Sherlock.
Yeah, I mean, also understandable, but I mean, there have been other showrunners who, I mean, did the same thing and produced two great shows at the same time. So
Yeah, so it's
maybe don't do that if you can't.
right, I agree.
Pro
I am
tip.
very much looking forward to seeing the new season with Shooty. After watching the Christmas special, which is his first solo I Am the New Doctor story, I loved what they were doing, and I loved that they weren't afraid to try new things with a doctor. And this is not a spoiler because it's in the teaser trailers. The doctor sings.
Yeah, which I love.
Yeah, I loved it too.
Really?
Yeah, they have this whole musical number where he gets to sing, and it's actually Shooty singing, and yeah.
Yeah, that's gonna be, I mean, just from, like, with Doctor Who, just like if you look at the clothing, it's like it already tells a story. It's very iconic, which was also something that I was not so sure about with like Jodie, because weird choice. It's
It
okay.
was a weird
She
choice.
made it work.
Yeah. Part of it felt very, very Robin Williams with her outfit. And
Yeah, but I mean like new Doctor Who, like the red leather jacket and like the, I don't know, like 70s like sweater, knit sweater and the pants and like sneakers and everything. So, or trainers actually, I think they're more look more like trainers. It just works and looks different and looks fun and it's gonna
yeah.
be interesting. Yeah, and I mean Millie Gibson, like also pretty great actress. So it's gonna be interesting.
It is. And but one thing that Peter Capaldi and Jodie Whittaker both wanted were costumes that would be easy for their fans to replicate. Because they already knew people are gonna go to cons and cosplay, and they wanted their outfits to be approachable. So I think in Jodie's case, there were some compromises that were made to accommodate her desire to have an easy to replicate costume. So it
Maybe
might
went
have,
a little bit too far.
yeah, but at least it's easy to replicate. And the stuff that are the stills that I've seen with Shudi's costumes, I
You
think it
can go to
actually opens
any.
it up so you can do a lot of your own interpretation now. Like, I expect we're going to see more people showing up to cons wearing kilts now.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, you could probably go to any like secondhand or like vintage clothing store and probably find something similar or inspired by what he's wearing. So works quite well.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's like an attractive man and like
And
not gonna lie.
all right, so Patrice, here's a little trivia bit that hopefully you'll appreciate. So in his first appearance as the doctor, his mustache is fake. And that's because he hadn't had time to grow it in yet, because he had been wrapping up whatever he'd been working on before. I mean, would that have still been sex therapy at that point, or sex education?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I don't know, but yeah.
But anyhow, so yeah, whichever role he was working on before he started filming Doctor Who, it was without a mustache. And if it was sex education, that would totally make sense because he's playing a teenager in that. And yeah, so his mustache is now real, but it wasn't for that first shoot.
Yeah, I mean he's had a couple months now, so should
Yeah,
be
well,
okay.
yeah, by the time they really got into filming, it was his mustache.
Nice.
I
Yeah, I'm
mean,
very much
after
looking for
the Christmas special.
it. Yeah, I mean, which was filmed like early last year, I think. So
Yeah.
been a while.
It's been a
Maybe
while.
even the year before. It might have been 2022 even. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has. All right, so I get to start watching the new Doctor Who on May 10th.
Yay.
And since I have Disney Plus, I don't actually have to buy the season if I don't want to.
Very nice.
Yep, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, good thing I have solid streaming. Much like TSO Host Office, you're both laughing. You knew what I was doing.
Yes.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that one was kind of transparent, wasn't it? Yeah.
It kind of was, yeah.
Well, roll with it. All right. Anyhow, yeah. So why would I go to such great pains to weave streaming in and then take it right into TSO Host? Well, it's because TSO Host does offer us the streaming we need, and they do that because we like to give you live shows, and the only way for us to do that is to have su the support, the bandwidth to be able to live stream, and the resources to do that, along with the other things that we do. It's actually beyond what we'd be able to make manage on our wow, what we would be able to make manage. Wow.
Words, mouth,
Can you believe I write for a
thoughts.
living? Oh my God. Anyhow, yeah. So the resources that we need to do all of the things that we do to be able to live stream so you can watch me bungle the English language in real time. TSO Host is making that possible. They're giving us that bandwidth for the live stream. They're giving us the hosting space. So there's a place for the website to live. So you can go in and find the episodes that you want to watch or listen to. And because you want to watch or listen to those episodes, we need to have a place for all the show files to live. They're giving us the server space for that as well. Seriously, we would not be able to pull all this off without their support, because it takes a lot to bring all those resources together. And they're making that possible for us. It's great for us as the BTN family, because we all get to spend this time together every single week. And for TSO Hosts, they get to do something cool and give back to the community. So it's a win all the way around. Thank you, TSO Hosts, for doing that for us. I said thank you. Now it's your turn. Everyone that's watching and listening live or after the fact, go out on social media. Do it right now and thank TSO Hosts for being here and supporting us. Super easy to do, and only takes a moment. And it's a great way to show your appreciation to TSO Hosts. And please go do that. And if by chance, though, at some point you decide, hey, I found a really great domain name that I need to buy, why not use TSO Hosts? Because they're going to give you good pricing. They make it easy to do. And because you're part of the BTN family, you can add in the discount code BTN20. Get 20% off your order. Throw in whatever you need. Like if you want to add in hosting, any of that, just make sure you throw in the discount code BTN20 so you get that 20% off. So thank you, TSO Hosts, for being here and supporting us. And now I get to do the super obvious segue. Speaking of support, Patrice, I really need yours. Would you mind telling people about the live chat that I keep mentioning?
Of course, of course. So we have a really awesome live chat. We're like in the live chat when we're recording the session. Live chat is actually there 24/7, but usually nobody's in there, except for our Chuckbot that is in the house today.
Chuckbot in the house.
Chuckbot in the house. So yeah, this is really cool. Like you can talk to us. You can see the links that we're posting to the news stories, extra things, extra bits and pieces, like the vehicle privacy report website that Jeff mentioned, for example. Of course, I put in the new and the old Doctor Who IMDb links if you need that. Just if you want to look up episodes, that's a good resource for that. Like cool things that are coming up, like all of that is in our live chat. And when we're recording, which we do every Thursday, 7 p.m. UK time for this very show, the big show, and also tomorrow and every Friday, 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show. So that's the Apple side of things. Keep in mind, the US already did the daylight savings thing. Europe is gonna do so next week, Sunday, because reasons, I don't know. So
as far as I know, with those of us in the US.
Yeah, as far as I know, it's next week. I think it was on the 31st. So might be wrong about that. Let me double check that, but I think it is. But anyway, my point is you should check. Yeah, the 31st is Sunday. So yes. It's always the last Sunday of the month. So yeah, my point is you should check the show times in your local time zone. So there's a bunch of tools out there to see. So it's always the same time, 7 p.m. on Thursdays for this big show, Fridays 4 p.m. And yeah, whatever that time is in the UK, that's what the time is where you are. Simple as that. And then you head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com to talk to us, and live.britishtechnetwork.com to see us, actually, because we're live streaming this. We have a really cool TSO host provided live stream server. But let's say you are listening to this later in the recorded form on our website or in the, I don't know, Apple Podcast app, Spotify, YouTube Music, wherever you are listening to this, and you're like, ah, damn, I missed it. I really want to get that link to the vehicle privacy report that Jeff mentioned. So there's a very easy way to still get to that transcript because there's another bot, the check bot, and there's a BTN bot in there, and it records everything that is said, and then it puts it up on our website. So all you have to do is head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat, and then there's a very friendly calendar. That wibbly wobbly timey wimey thing, and you put in a date, kind of like the you tell the TARDIS you want to go sometime, and anytime between June 2nd, 2015, and today would be March 21st, 2024. And if you put that any date in, you will see exactly what was talked about on that day. For example, today.
Awesome. Thank you for doing that, Patrice. I
You're
do
welcome.
appreciate it.
I never thought of the British Tech Network.com/chat as a TARDIS, but that's exactly what it is.
Kind of is. Good
Yeah, it
travel
kind
in
of
time.
is. Yeah. So just for fun, I threw in the link to the story that I would have brought had we needed to have a story from me. We're not going to talk about it, but you can go check it out.
Nice.
It's about the pending standard for smart home device, Internet of Things security protocols. So it's in the those links that Patrice just told you about. And with that, it is now time to do some cool things. And wow, Tom, you are
Tom is
fast.
always fast.
I'm going
And
fast today.
I love this cool thing. This is
Okay.
awesome. I mean, I'm familiar with this one, and now everyone else will be too.
So my cool thing is something which is not new, but it's come up twice. It came across my eyes twice in the last week. First, my nephew sent me a link to a TikTok video about it, and then it popped up in my Mastodon feed. And it's about how cloud Flare uses wall in their office of lava lamps to help generate random code for encryption, I guess encryption and decryption. So they have a wall in their office up in the city, up in San Francisco, in the city, and I don't know, it's probably, 10 by 5, there's
It's
probably
about a
50,
hundred. Yeah, it's
100.
about 100 lava lamps.
So they have a camera focused on, pointing at these, and it's basically, I think it uses the pixels, the color from the pixels from each pixel to help generate the random number. And I thought that was just the coolest thing, and I'm sure the fact that marijuana is legal in San Francisco had nothing to do with it.
I'm not
No,
so sure. No, I can't imagine that. No.
No.
So I thought it was such a brilliant idea, because even I can remember from the old days when I'd program. We had RAND functions in every language that I use, but of course you had to give it a seed, and a computer is a computer. So we try to get tricky and use the date and the some random code on the computer to try to decrypt it. But if anything is repeatable, it's hackable, right?
Yeah, I mean that's the whole problem with encryption keys in general. Like you need like if you know the input for like into the encryption key, the random numbers that are used,
It's not
then you
random
can guess
anymore.
the key. It's not random anymore. You can guess the key because it is using those random numbers to generate some like the
Right.
key, some
And
other
so
math.
it yeah, so it's really interesting how people solve these. I've heard about people that use they randomly sample weather, personal weather stations to get temperatures or something.
So
Anyway, I think
yeah,
this is the coolest thing.
it is awesome. Yeah, it's a really, I mean, it's a long-running problem with computers. Like a lot of the random numbers that we use are actually only pseudo-random.
Right.
They're random enough for the purposes that we need them. Like if you just need to pick a number between 1 and 1,000. Then and it doesn't really, it's not for encryption or anything where it's super important whether it's truly 100% random or every now and then it falls down, like you don't even notice. Doesn't matter. If you're like me and you're using Siri to ask for a random number of a movie you want to watch, like you have 15 movies and you don't, can't decide, you're like, okay, give me a random number.
Yeah, right.
It doesn't
That's
matter how
safe,
random.
right?
But for encryption keys, it's super important. And I mean, that's why also in the security community, there's always a concern about, okay, like is the what are the algorithms that are being used, I don't know, controlled by the NSA, for example. That's a common
Right.
thing that people say, or China or whatever, if you can influence that. So this is one of the many ways you can insert randomness into your system. Like some systems use whatever user input. So if you have your Mac, for example, it's often using your user input because that is random. It can predict what you're going to do next to some extent. So it actually uses that, for example, or the things you're computing in the background, the process you're running, and all of that gets input into that to kind of get to a random enough system. But for, I mean, cloud security, especially what Cloudflare is doing, that's super important. So physical things are actually very good, and weather and lava lamps and so on, because to some extent they're not predictable, especially when you have 100 of them. So.
Right. And they said they also it tried in the lobby, and they said, well, what about people walking in front of it? And he said, that's actually perfect. It makes it even
Yeah,
more
it makes it
random.
even more random.
Exactly, because you cannot predict that. That's how it's going. Well, you could probably try to like if con like yeah, let's say a malicious actor could probably try to influence the randomness by saying, okay, you walk exactly in this second through here, and then we'll know what the number is. But anything in the environment could mess that up. So
I think we all agree this would be pretty hard to reverse engineer. But
yeah, I mean,
then,
not impossible, but it
right.
is, I mean, it's from what I've understood, only one of the inputs. So it's just input into the system that adds more chaos to it. And the more chaos it
Right.
has, the better the random numbers are.
Yeah.
Entropy is a good thing sometimes.
Yeah. And if you're, oh, go ahead.
So I linked a second article, which is Wikipedia, which claims that the first use of lava lamps to generate random numbers was done at SGI back in the 90s, Silicon Graphics, which sort of correlates to, I know people that worked at SGI, and the fact that they would use lava lamps makes total sense. They were those kind of people. SGI did a lot of cool things. So I think I just wanted to give them credit too, that maybe the people at Cloudflare got this idea from the people at SGI.
I mean, they had a patent, even that's expired, but they
Right.
had a patent on it. So I would expect, yeah, that was probably
I'm sure
true.
that played a big role in this.
Right.
Yep. Yeah, but this is really cool. I like this.
It is very cool. Yep.
So the next
Yep.
time I
Always should
get up
think what
to
could
that
be,
area
what
of
could
San
be.
Francisco, I'm definitely going to visit this
Yeah.
lobby.
We should use I don't know, the live stream from Mac Voices to like do a random number generator. I don't know. So
Pick the
right.
pixels out of it. Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. I think our streams are too predictable for that, so
Yeah, well, we may not know exactly what content is coming out, but we still know what kind of content is coming out. Yeah.
So true.
All right. Well, that's very cool. And so, Patrice, your cool thing, which is also very cool.
Yes. So, you may have heard that, you may have heard of a singer named Britney Spears. Like, I don't know, might have been around a couple of years, and might have been sold like a CD or two.
Semi-popular, yeah.
Semi-popular, yeah. You might have even heard like the whole story with like what happened in, I think, the early 2000s, and then she was placed under conservatorship, I think. Yeah.
Yes.
So for a very, very, very long time, which was very, very, very unusual. And very recently, I mean, there was this whole Free Britney movement, and then very recently she finally got released from it, and she's independent now again, and yeah, even released a song or two. But she has written a book since then, and you could expect the typical celebrity memoir, right? Or the typical, okay, she's now like bashing her dad and her family and all of that. And I mean, I'm not gonna lie, there is a tiny little bit of that in there. I mean, for sure, she does mention it here and there. But
Well,
for
I
the
mean,
most
it played a
part,
part in
it played, I mean, a
life.
massive part in her life for a
Yeah,
long time.
absolutely.
But the like for the most part, it is her life and her struggles with, well, the beginning fame. And I mean, basically never having a childhood because she was a star in her childhood, basically. And a big star at some point, like when she was about 16, I think. So, and I mean, even way before that, she was singing and working her way to that point. It was a lot of work that went into even getting to that point. And driven by her parents, by the way. And it's about her really struggling with herself and struggling with what do I want as a woman? What do I expect from life? And like, how do I get to some extent the things back that I've never had? She mentions in there, like, she wants to graduate from high school, from university. She never had like a graduation ceremony, stuff like that. She's like, I might do that in the future. Like, I can't. Now I can. So maybe I'll do that. Maybe I won't. Like, but it's my choice. And it's a really, really, the title is The Woman in Me. And I think that says it all. It is not read by her. She did, like, in the audiobook version, she did a little intro in the beginning, but then it's someone else. And she said, yeah, I'm just not good at that. So I didn't want to do it. I didn't want it to be my voice in this case. Like, my voice is in the words and not in the audio version. So it's read by Michelle Williams, actually. But it's, as I said, it's, I didn't listen, like, it came out last year, I think, and I didn't listen for it for quite a while. There was a whole buzz in the press about it and all of that. And kind of like with Spare, it kind of kept me from even wanting to listen to it because I wasn't sure I wanted to listen to that kind of book. And then you listen to it and you realize that was like 3 seconds of the book, and the least important 3 seconds of the book. And the really important stuff is everything else. And it's said it was actually a very, it was interesting for me that I found some parallels between her and me, which I did not expect. You would think like she's in a completely different sphere and different things, and she's successful and all of that. And you wouldn't expect that there's any relationship that you could draw up. And I didn't want to be honest. I was like, she's herself and I'm me, and like, it's fine. But it was interesting for me to find some parallels where I'm like, okay, I actually can understand that. So as I said, it's a really good book. I put in the link to Libro because that's my favorite audiobook source, but for sure you can find it on any other audiobook store you want. It's available everywhere. So it's about, I don't remember, 5 hours. It's not a massively long book. So it has, for me, perfect. It was the perfect length. I usually prefer long, really long books, like 12, 15, 16, 20 hours. But 5 hours, 5.5 hours was perfect for this content. So
yeah, Patrice, NPR had an interview with Michelle Williams probably last year after the
yeah,
book
I
came
think
out.
I've heard that, yeah.
It's a fantastic interview. And yeah, so good. Glad you know about it.
Yeah, it's, as I said, so highly recommend this book. As I said, it's about, sure, there's a little bit of fame, but it's a lot about her as a person, her freedom, her motherhood, like all of that. Really growing as a person.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
All right.
I mean,
so
she has her, as with every book like this, she has her perspective. There is probably another perspective, and then there's probably a third perspective that's the truth. But that's how, like, she sees things.
Yep. Yeah. Cool. Awesome pick. All right. So two awesome picks. All right. So this first link I'm dropping in, this was going to be my pick. And hold on. Because I have some show and tell that I can do too. So it was going to be this, which is The entire text of Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep turned into a graphic novel.
Wow.
And it's, I mean, it's done really, really well, and I love it. I didn't realize how long I've had this.
I used $412.80.
Yeah, you can spend like the low end price I found for this is buy used $196. So that's actually not my pick, because that's just not cool to roll that out and really build it up and then say, and you can't get it. So instead, we're going Lego today.
Oh
And
boy.
there's a Lego kit that's coming out April 4th. And Lego has partnered with Dungeons and Dragons. And this,
D&D Lego.
yeah. So what happened was someone submitted a whole like D&D setup thing where it's like a little inn and a castle and the dragon and the different types of characters you play. So they did that as an ideas submission, and it ended up becoming one of the kits that's being built. So Lego, they actually got licensing from D oh crap, I just forgot the actual name of the company, but it's like D&D something. So they got the licensing, and they redesigned the kit, of course. But you know, not dramatically, but enough that they could actually make it really work as a production kit. You end up with more pieces than in the original, so it's 3,745 pieces with six minifigures, and it costs $359.99. So this is a surprisingly good price for a product, because it comes in under a dime a brick, even with six minifigures, excuse me, and with licensing, because of course Lego has to pay a licensing fee
Of
for
course, yeah.
this. So, but it's just like this really cool looking kit. And so you have the inside of this little tavern, you have the castle, excuse me, with the inside of that as well. You have the big dragon, you have multiple types of characters.
That looks really cool.
Get different types of monsters in addition to the dragon, and apparently it even has the gelatinous cube, which is like a big thing in Dungeons and Dragons, kind of in a joke way, but also it's like this super dangerous monster that you do not want to have to interact with, and everyone's like crazy about the owl bear being in it. And so it has like all this iconic Dungeons and Dragons stuff in it, and it just looks like a really, really cool build.
I
It
like
does.
the inside of the tavern with the mugs of beer
Yeah,
and
like
the
just
guy
all these
pouring
fun
from the
little
tap.
details. Yeah. So there you go. Dungeons and Dragons, Red Dragon's Tale, $359.99, available on April 4th.
Nice. April 4th, BBC? No.
That's a bad date to release something, though.
Yeah, well, better than April 1st.
April 1st would be a really bad day to release it. Yeah. All right. And unlike what I was going to use as my pick, you can actually get a hold of this. So there you go.
Very nice.
All right. So it is now time to wrap up. And I knew even with just three of us, we still weren't going to need to get to my story. Yeah, no. But I have one every week for just in
Yeah,
case.
just
I'm
in
always
case.
prepared.
We've had a show once. I think it was just Jeff, you and me, and we went like two stories each or three. So
Yeah.
you never know.
You never know. All right. So with that, Let's wrap up. Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me every week here on this very show, the Big Show on Thursdays and the Mac Show on Fridays. By the way, I'm going to throw an extra bonus into our live chat. So check out our live chat, or actually our chat transcript at britishtechnetwork.com/chat. britishtechnetwork.com/chat. Yeah, you can find also everything about me, all the projects, podcasts, literally social media links, everything you want to know or not know on my website, thepatrice.com. And I have a really cool Mastodon instance. If you want to join, reach out to us because it's invite only, and you will get an invite to techhangout.social.
Awesome. And I just looked at your bonus pick.
Mm-hmm.
That's very cool. I'm not saying
That's
anything
a good
yet.
One.
So I have to go and look and see.
It's a good one. Yeah.
All right, Tom, tell us where people can find you.
People can find me, Jeff, on Mastodon. I am Tom F at sfba.social.
Awesome.
That's it. That's the only place you can find me.
All right. Well,
I don't run my own instance like Patrice.
You don't have to.
But you could.
I could.
Yep. All right. Well, unlike Patrice, I do not have my own instance. However, I am Jay Gamut on all the different social medias. I'm active right now on Mastodon, Instagram, and Threads. Then for shows where you can find me, on Tuesdays, Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live. On Thursdays, Dave Ginsberg's In Touch with iOS. Here on the British Tech Network, Thursday for the Big Show, Friday for the Mac Show. And then also Brian Chaffin and I do the Context Machine. So I get around. You know what it comes down to? I really, really enjoy getting to spend time with my friends. And it just so happens a lot of us podcast. So there you go. Any opportunity to spend time with friends is time well spent. So speaking of time well spent, wow, this was time well spent. And I'm so glad, like I say over and over, that I got to spend all this time with you. And I genuinely appreciate it. You're all awesome. So thank you. And everyone that's watching and listening live, thank you for being here and being part of the show. If you've been participating in the live chat, thank you for being there as well. Everyone that watches or listens to the show later, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. Speaking of the BTN family, Ewan, thank you for being you. And Muller, thank you for making sure we have people for shows. And also, be sure you check out the daily news show. Kyle does a fantastic job of taking the tech news that you need to know and encapsulating it into a little 5-minute bite-sized chunk. And it's there waiting for you when you get up in the morning. And that takes more effort or more resources to, well, probably more effort because Kyle's actually doing work for the show before he records it, unlike us. But it does take more resources. So we need more money for that show. Go to the BTN website, click the link, the little button on the homepage so that you can send in money to help keep that show going. And please do that because it takes those extra resources. All right. So, wow. Hey, thank you, TSO Host, for being here and supporting us as well. Give them some online love. And with that, I think we've hit all the really important stuff. So it's safe for me now to say, be sure and join us tomorrow for the Mac Show. I can say with confidence there will be more to talk about than we will be able to fit into the show tomorrow. Holy crap. It is a busy news week for Apple. So join in and check that out. And don't forget to join us next Thursday again for the Big Show. And then again next Friday for the Mac Show. And with that, everyone have an awesome weekend, and we'll see you next week.